good morning. This is KDVS 90.3. This is a program called Books and Ideas. My name is DJ Safikar. We're looking at a book called Tolstoy in the Purple Chair, My Year of Magical Reading by Nina Sankovic, written in 2012. And I've already been talking about the book for the past couple of weeks. So I will give you a short summary of what has gone on and the basics of the book. Nina Sankovic loses her sister, Anne Marie, with whom she's very close. Anne Marie dies after a short illness when she's 46 years old. Nina tries to deal with her sorrow by first escaping from it through keeping very busy. But after 3 years, Nina comes to realization that she cannot run away from it anymore and must stop everything and deal with it directly. Nina is from a family of book lovers. She's intrigued by the idea that words are alive and literature can be an escape, not from, but into living. That is how she wants to use books, as an escape back to life. She will read not as a way to rid herself of sorrow, but as a way to absorb it. In order to come to terms with her sister's death and with herself, Nina decides to read books. She decides to intensely read every day for a year. She imposes some rules on herself and her selections, such as no author can be read more than once. She sets herself up in a room downstairs where there is an old purple chair, which becomes her dedicated reading chair. She begins this project on her 46th birthday. She's hoping for answers to answer the question of why she deserved to live and how to live now. Tolstoy and the Purple Chair is about Nina's attempt to deal with the loss of her sister by means of reading books. It's about reading as therapy for grief and depression. It's also about how we recover and process our memories. Okay. Today we're looking at chapter 10. This chapter is called Hearing Words I Missed Before. Nina is spending an afternoon with Anne-Marie at her house. Shortly after, Anne-Marie finds out about her illness and her impending death. When they are alone, Nina wants to talk to her sister about a book she has given her. But Anne-Marie does not want to hear about it. She turns to Nina and grabs a hold of her. Nina buries her face in her sister's hair and sweater and listens. Anne Marie says, "It's not fair." All Nina can say is, "I love you." Then Anne Marie says something to her which she cannot hear well, as she's overcome by emotions. Years later, Nina is wondering what she missed that afternoon, cowering against her shoulder. She then finds some words of wisdom in the story of another woman who died young. The Open Door by Elizabeth McGuire is a fictional biography of a 19th century author, Constance Fenimore Woolston. Woolston is a very independent and unconventional woman. As Nina is reading the book, she finds herself liking Woolston more and more. She is enthusiastic about life, strong-willed when it comes to getting what she wants, and she loves books. When Nina is in high school, she begins keeping a journal of her favorite quotes from books. She writes, "The purpose of the journal was to act as a vault. I wanted to save the words whispered in my ear by the beloved authors and store them up for the day when I needed to hear them. I hoped back then that by following the words, I would become stronger, wiser, braver, and kinder. The quotes I saved in my journal were the proof of, as well as guidance for, how I would meet any challenge and overcome all difficulties." Nina writes down and clings on to the words her father spoke once when Nina and her sister were complaining. They were, "Do not look for happiness in life. Life itself is happiness." Nina comes back to this idea in the later chapters. She then tells us about some of the mess she got into as a teenager and turned into her book of quotation for advice and help. She still has that journal. Nina writes, "Now I needed words again. I needed guidance from books. I had to reopen and restock my vault of wisdom. I needed again to hear from authors about their experiences. In reading about their experiences, both light and dark, I would find the wisdom to get through my own dark times. According to the historical evidence, Wilson died at the age of 53. She jumped or fell to her death, suffering from an illness and depression. But McGuire imagines a different ending for her character. Wilson discovers a tumor in her head, and she only has months left to live. Now, McGuire herself was diagnosed with cancer and finished the open door in the last few months of her life. She died at 47. Nina is certain that McGuire wrote the ending so that Wilson's character could serve as the voice of McGuire's own fears about death and eventual acceptance of what is coming. McGuire has Wilson say, "All my life, I pulled myself out of low spirits by imagining what might happen next. Now there was not going to be any next. Gone. Is it possible to conceive of oneself as gone? It is impossible to conceive of oneself as gone, isn't it? It seems that I am just a small hole dug in the sand by a child's shovel to be erased when the next turn of tide. I would rather be a mountain, stand purple and glorious for all time." Nina uses these words as a proxy for the murmuring of her sister and to fill in all that was left unsaid on that afternoon in the study. The next chapter is on love. Sankovich begins by talking about romantic love, and then she turns to attachment between siblings. Nina tells us about her first love and subsequent young men whom she fell in love with before she met her husband. At the time, she thought each and every one of them was the love of her life. Nina marries the last love of her life, and she's now happy. In Twilight, by Stephanie Meyer, desire is portrayed as a monster who has evil in him, but can be tamed. Nina wonders whether love is the taming of desire into something more solid and sustainable. In Maggie Estep's Alice Fantastic, falling in love is simple, necessary, and basic. What happens after falling in love is more complicated, with plenty of desire, dependence, and jealousy expressed, fought against, and finally accepted. Nina likes Stepp's characterization of love as a series of leaps into the unknown, with an occasional bump, the rare injury, and a high-flying exhilaration that makes the bumps and injuries worth it. Nina in particular like Stepp's portrayal of love between two sisters, Alice and Eloise. The sisters have great differences and opposing outlooks on everything from work to romance. But they join together when a secret about their mother is revealed. There's tears and long hugs. Oceans of differences calm down. The differences between them are nothing compared to the love. Nina then notes, it is only in sibling relationships that such a dichotomy exists. We love our siblings even though we may not pick them as friends if we didn't know them. Nina had very little in common with Anne Marie, besides love of books and of beauty in art. None of the three sisters could agree ever on the ideal meal, vacation, house, or political platform. And yet, Nina writes, we loved each other completely and without question. We were there for each other in the most important moments and in smaller ones too. Nina finds the simplest and yet profoundly moving explanation of love in the words of a character in Ernest J. Gaines' A Lesson Before Dying. It is the story of a young man sentenced to death row for a murder he witnessed but he did not commit. During a prison visit with his grandmother, when she laments his lack of education, the young man says, "It doesn't matter. Nothing matters now." But his grandmother answers, "It matters to me. You matter to me." Nina writes, "That's the crux of love. One person mattering to another person. One existence that is important among all other lives. We are unique in how we are loved, and we are not interchangeable. You matter to me means that the long haul is accepted, even willingly taken on. I will carry you, hold you, and applaud you from here on. Dependability, I will be here to take care of you, and when you're gone, I will be here to remember you. Nothing in the world matters except love. An old friend gushes at the narrator of Provincial Lady in London by E.M. Delafield. But Nina disagrees. It is not the emotion of love, solely and independent, that is important. It is the people that we love who hold the world steady for us and give meaning to it. Of course, there are plenty of other things that matter in life, but it's the people we love that matter the most. So we should let them know just how much they matter to us at all times. In the next chapter, Nina recounts again some of the horrors and numerous near-death experiences that her father had during the Second World War. He lived through them. Otherwise, we would not be reading the book now. She writes, "But living, like dying, causes ripples to spread through his life. Impacts from what he saw, from what he suffered, and what he knew." When Nina begins her year of reading, a cousin from Belgium sends her a book entitled Assault, written by a Dutch writer, Harry Mulisch. She wouldn't touch it for months because she was frightened by the cover, which is a photograph of a dead body lying in the street. She was scared to read it because she knew that it's about war and revenge and hate. Nina eventually overcomes this fear and picks up the book. The novel is about death of a cruel Dutch police officer during the final days of the Nazi occupation of Holland. He is a collaborator. It is also the story of Anton, a young man who's fascinated by the waves caused by passing motorboats in the canal waters. All across the water, a complicated braiding of ripples developed, which went on changing several times. When Anton tries to figure out how this exactly happens, the patterns become so complex that he can no longer follow it. This complicated braiding of ripples is a premonition of what was coming. The murder of the policeman and the subsequent killing of everyone in Anton's family except him. Anton will spend the rest of his life trying to untangle the events of that night of horror. After the war, Anton is taken in by relatives. He goes to school and eventually has a career and he falls in love. For Anton, the scars of war, the scars of loss and fear, anger and bewilderment become an abiding pessimism. The world is hell. Even if we had heaven on earth tomorrow, it would not be perfect because of all that has happened. Because of all that has happened. Never again could things be set right. Anton believes everything is forgotten at the end. What he means is that no lessons are learned. He believes that the experience of war, with all its horror, is doomed to be repeated again and again. Nina often finds herself in parties arguing over the altruism of human beings. Once she finds herself to be the only person willing to defend the idea that humans are inherently cooperative and productive. Her friends who are present at the party all come from good families, have good education and careers. So she gives long-held friendship and burgeoning families as the proof of a big and small feats of goodness and selflessness that humans are capable of. Then someone says, what about war? If we are so good, why do we go out and kill each other? Nina could not come up with a good answer at that time, but she thinks that the correct response would have been read a book to find out why we go to war, to experience what it is that drives us to violence. The main character in Wendell Berry's Hannah Coulter turns to books to understand war. Excuse me. Hannah's husband fought in Okinawa, but he never talks to Hannah or anyone else about it. When he dies, Hannah has an urgent need to know about the battle. She wants to know about her husband and the forces and events that shaped him. Hannah tracks down the consequences of war, not only for her husband, but also for herself and her children. She comes to see that he needed the quiet of their hometown and the encircling of their family and her love to keep his knowledge of war at bay. Nina shied away from reading books about war, from having an experience that was scary, jarring, and upsetting. But she comes to understand why it is important to read these books. Because being a witness to all kinds of human experience is important to the understanding of the world and also of ourselves. To define what is important to me, who is important, and why. For Anton, war was proof of man's inherent evil. For Hannah's husband, that proof was tempered by what he knew of his own family and his own quiet place in the universe. Like Anton, Nina's father experienced some of the worst horrors of war, but he did not carry away an abiding pessimism about humankind. He was more like Hannah's husband in how he turned inward and built a family and work to protect him. As Hannah describes it, our life in our place had been a divine blessing to him, but he had seen it always within a circle of fire that might have closed upon it. Nina, her sisters and her mother were her father's shield from the past, a buffer zone between him and the pain he had known. Now that Anne Murray had gone, there was a rent in the shield, a rift in the buffer, and a breaking of the promise. Nina could try to patch over the hole, but the bump of the repair would always be there, a rough and uneven space marking her absence. In reading, Nina discovers that the burden of living is the uneven and unlimited allotment of pain. Tragedy is conferred randomly and unfairly. Any promise of easy times to come is a false one. But Nina has learned that she can survive the hard times, taking the worst of what happens to her as a burden, but not a noose. Sankovich writes, the value of experience, real or imagined, is that it showed us how to and how not to live. In reading about different characters and consequences of their choices, I was finding myself change. I was discovering new and distinct ways of undergoing life's sorrow and joy. I could follow the example of my father and hold my family closely around me, or I could pattern myself after Anton and turn sour and dark over the nature of the world. I chose my father's way. Now we're on chapter 13. Halfway through her year of reading, Nina reads Little Bee by Chris Cleave. From this book, Nina learns that there's a beauty in the affinity of found connection between her and the rest of the world. All throughout her life, Nina feels like a stranger and distant from others. She grew up in an immigrant household. When Anne Murray dies, this feeling is heightened. Nina feels like no one understands her or knows what she's going through. But books have showed her that everyone suffers at different times of their lives, and that, yes, there were in fact many people who knew exactly what she was going through. She finds that suffering and finding joy are universal experiences, that these universal experiences are the connections between her and the rest of humanity. Little Bee tells the story of a young woman nicknamed Little Bee who flees Nigeria after experiencing horrors and comes to England to seek out Sarah and Andrew, the couple who saved her once before. She is struggling to find a peace both within and without where she feels safe. She's struggling to find a place both within and without where she feels safe. But Andrew has committed suicide and Sarah is suffering from depression and is having a lot of personal problems. Sarah and Little Bee both feel like outsiders and are struggling to find happiness. Nina sees herself in both characters. She sees outsiders trying to find answers. It was not the physical or the historical resemblances that matters. It is our common desire, shared beneath the skin, that bind and unite us together. Upon arrival of spring, Nina spends a few weeks raking up the leaves and weeds and clearing the patch of choking brambles and vines. Nina writes, "Reading my book a day this year was clearing my brain, the way my hard work had cleared the mess in the backyard. I had been caught in a brumble patch of sorrow and fear. My reading, sometimes painful, often exhausting, was pulling me out of the shadows and into the light. And I am not the only one clearing our woods and poison ivy, or planting beauty, perennial flowers of hope. The world is full of us, digging and scraping, working for the day when flowers come back like they were supposed to, blooming year after year." Nina writes, "I am connected to the rest of humanity, not through a giant shared karma, but through our diverse experiences and yet communal emotions. Reading was making me see that my own loss and confusion were matched around the world by others struggling to make sense of the unexpected, the feared, and the unavoidable. How to live? With empathy. Because in sharing the load of that fear and confusion, isolation and sadness, I could lighten my own. Already the burden is lifting. My own desires are receding. My own needs rerouting. I am in a garden freed of brambles and weeds. And I am not alone. There are a bunch of us there, weed whacking away and ready for sun." All right. All right. I will try to see whether I can get some music on, hopefully. Yeah. All right. All right. I hope you're having a nice day today. It's a nice Friday. Here we go. Let's see.
KDVS, raise their hand or stand up, please. I'm the general manager of KDBS.
I'm a long play record DJ with KDBS.
I'm a KDBS listener. I enjoy listening to the station. I think it's a critical resource for the community.
I'm KDBS's technical consultant.
I'm a KDBS staffer as well as a listener.
I'm a really strong supporter of KDBS.
I'm here for KDBS.
I've been with KDBS for 20 years.
That's a significant benefit to our community.
There's strong community support for KDBS and their mission. Just from looking around at all the people who came out here today with their KDBS shirts.
I see standing behind me a bunch of students. My understanding is that their radio station may stand to profit from piggybacking on top of this radio tower. That's why they were given incentives to come here, perhaps.
An incentive was mentioned to get here, and that incentive is protecting our frequency.
When you locate a tower in a community, the FCC requires that you serve that community.
KDBS, Davis.
Su atención, por favor. Cubana de Aviación les anuncia la salida de su vuelo 456 con destino a La Habana. Les deseamos una feliz estancia en esa ciudad. Gracias.
Hello, hello, hello. Hola, hola, hola. Yo soy DJ Aura y estás escuchando a La Tiendita aquí en KBS Davis 90.3. My name is DJ Aura, and this is La Tiendita, which translates to The Little Store, here in KBS Davis 90.3 FM. Hoy vamos a tocar música de bachata. Vamos a tocar unas bachatas. Y es porque Cristy Nodal released su nuevo álbum, Pal Corra. Y él tiene una canción que se llama La Bachatita. Y yo quería esa canción inspired a mí a tocar música de bachatas. Bueno, esta primera canción se llama La Bachatita de Cristy Nodal en su nuevo álbum Pal Corra. Hope you guys enjoy. Nos vemos. Peace.
Ser que no ha pasado nada, no se va a poder. Cuando pasa de todo, cada vez que te vuelvo a ver. Si me duele, pero es lo que hay. Ay, sí. Y ese que te tiene es tan suelto y no lo ve. Esos ojitos han llorado y todo es por él. Sé que duele y ahí vuelves pa' acá. Ay, si no te llena el corazón. Sabe mal, si no te da su tiempo y de pasión hablar, si no dice qué rica te ves, no te aferres, ve que no ves, si no tienes con quién llorar, con quién reír, si al caer la noche tú piensas en mí, yo te digo qué rica te ves, no me aférrate bien que aquí es, tú te mereces hoy. Hacerte el amor, ay, 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 hacerte.